Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. My name is Veronica Blake. Today on the show, I am joined by Mrs. Evelyn Sylvain.
Yes.
I am so glad you can join me today, my sister. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. I'm so privileged to be on your show. That's such a great opportunity for me. It's an honor.
Oh, thank you. It is an honor to have you, to get all the wisdom that you have to give to my listeners and my viewers.
So yeah, I can't
tell me, who is Evelyn? What do you do and where do you come from?
Okay, so, well, I was born and raised in West Africa in a country called Burkina Faso.
Okay.
I moved to the United States when I was 13 years old. So I did high school and college here, and as well as graduate school. I'm now a clinical social worker. I am a school-based therapist. So I work with kids at the moment, but I'm looking into, you know, going back to working with adults right now.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you today on the subject of forgiveness, which I mentioned earlier to you.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to live a life of forgiveness?
A life of forgiveness for me has to first start with selflessness, because you cannot abide in forgiveness if you're full of pride, because pride is filled with arrogance. It's filled with me, myself, and I was wronged. I was a victim in the situation. So how dare you request me to forgive you? Until I can appease myself, until I feel like I've been vindicated, I don't want to forgive, because it's something that I want to hold on to. So forgiveness for me, I think, as an intimate relationship with humility, because you have to be able to deny your flesh, to deny yourself, and look into the word of God and look into the grace that empowers you to do what he wants you to do in order to walk in forgiveness. Because forgiveness is not easy. It isn't easy. It is something that is cultivated by the Spirit of God. And if you're not intimate with the Spirit of God, it's going to be very hard for you to forgive those who trespass against you.
So is it very important to forgive?
It is imperative to forgive. I think it's a necessity. It's a need. I feel like it's more than important, because sometimes eating is important.
Mm-hmm.
Going to work is important. But if you don't eat for a certain amount of time, yes, you can go several days, but if you don't eat in a certain amount of time, you will die. Okay. So it's a need, because without it, you won't have life. Okay. So the same applies to forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't something that you can be like, oh, I don't have to forgive. I can just do without.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that not only helps you spiritually, but it helps you physically. Okay. Because studies have even shown that people who bear grudges, bitterness, and anger in their heart are more prone to get cancer, diabetes, high cholesterol. All these things affect you, okay? And the word of God even says that if your Father in heaven has forgiven you of your sins, has forgiven you of your trespasses, you must forgive your brother and sister. Because if you don't, then he won't forgive you of your sins.
So for someone, let's say a young lady who has been raped, let's say, by her father,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, she carries a child by him. We hear of these stories all the time.
Yes.
It's a bit of a strong analogy to use, example to use, but someone like that who says, I can't let go of this hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Will God hold this grudge against them? Because they were the ones who were offended. Does God hold a grudge against us when we refuse to forgive people, especially an example like that I just gave?
Yes. People have done many, many bad things to others. There's mm-hmm. The heart of man is desperately wicked, okay? And God knows that when we go through certain things in life, it's going to take some time for us to kind of excavate that and remove that from our heart. But at the same time, nothing equates to the forgiveness that God has given us. Nothing equates to that, because he has given us the ultimate gift of forgiveness. So if he was able to forgive us of our trespasses, who are we not to forgive somebody else? And like I said before, forgiveness isn't about you. It's ultimately looking to God and saying, I don't know how to do it on my own. I don't know how I can forgive this person, but I know that in you I can, because all things are possible to Christ Jesus. The grace that you have given me will then empower me and enable me to do things I couldn't do on my own. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because without him, we cannot live the natural, supernatural life that God has called us to live. That means forgiving somebody who did something awful to you. That means forgiving someone who has hurt you in a way that you didn't think could hurt. All of that is able to happen through intimacy with the Holy Spirit, through you casting your cares upon him so that he can then sustain you. Because things like that are not hard. They're not easy to bear. It's a huge load that you have to bear on your shoulder. But keeping that offense in your heart and keeping that unforgiveness feeling, making it seem like if I forgive him, it makes it seem like I didn't go through it. It makes it seem like he is going scot-free and he's not paying for his sins. But no, God is ultimately a just God. And he says, vengeance is not ours, it is his. So we have to set that aside and say, you know best. You know how to deal with this situation more than I can. Because me internalizing the pain that I've been through is only being toxic to me. So for my sanity, for my health, for my well-being, and that of my future children, and that of my husband, I need to let go. It's not even about the other person.
So do we forgive and forget? Or is it wrong to say, okay, I've forgiven you, but I will never forget it? So there are some instances that I've said that I'm like, I've forgiven you, but trust me, I'm not going to forget what you did to me. Is it wrong to say something like that and to live in that experience?
You know, I'm not going to say it's wrong and I'm not going to say it's right, because when you forgive and you choose to let go and let God handle it, it's hard to say, oh, I've forgotten what happened, because physically you haven't forgotten.
Yeah, you haven't. Mm-hmm.
You will never forget, because unless you go through some type of amnesia or short-term memory loss, you will not forget what happened. So you're saying, I will forgive, but then I will not forget. Duh, of course you won't forget. But at the same time, you have to act as though you have forgotten. And that's the hard part of it. That's the hard part of it, because when Jesus says that you must forgive your brother however many times he comes and asks for forgiveness, you cannot do that if you keep remembering, man, you did this, you kept doing this. And the person comes and asks you for forgiveness. You're like, man, the more you remember how many times you've been hurt, it will be so much harder for you to forgive the next trespass. You need to forgive the next, because we're like, okay, after a certain amount of time, I'm going to cut you off. Because you now have become very toxic to me and very toxic to who I'm supposed to be. So I'm cutting you off. But the Bible says that if that person comes and seeks for your forgiveness, we must forgive. Now understand, not a lot of people will come and ask for forgiveness. Okay. You're more than welcome to let those people go. I mean, you don't hold any grudges in your heart, but you don't have to have a close relationship with those people. We're not asking you to sing Kumbaya and go to places with them. You don't have to do that. But let's say that person needs your help. Will you remember what they've done and say, you know what? I don't think I can do that right now. Then would you be okay with God treating you the same way? I remember what you did yesterday when you sinned against me, so I don't think I want to help you right now. You always have to put your spot in that place. Like, would I want God to treat me like this after what I've done to him? And if you wouldn't want him to do that to you, then don't do it to your brother and sister.
So it's not imperative to hold on to relationships that have fallen apart. Is that what you're saying?
No, you don't have to hold on to them. Okay. Because there's also guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And until we reach a certain amount or a certain level of maturity, it's good for us to remove ourselves from toxic people. But it's
that is not a sin.
No, that's not a sin. It is good for you to remove yourself from toxic people, okay? But you can still be friendly. You don't have to be friends. You can still be friendly, and you can still, you know, forgive them for what they've done. If they were to, like, say, hey, how are you? Say, I'm fine, or whatever. If they need help from you, you will be able to help them. Because even the Bible says that in doing so, you will burn heap of coals on their head. If you're able to just give something to someone that has hurt you, or to your enemy, in doing so, you are acting like a true child of God.
Okay. So I want to ask you a question. It's also centered around forgiveness. Going back to the young girl, I always use young women as an example because that's what I know. I was a young woman once, and I know a lot of young women who are going through stuff, who have gone through stuff. Mm-hmm. So if someone was raped and got pregnant, you know, by the rapist and decides that, and she's, let's say the person is a Christian, mm-hmm. and she knows, you know, do not murder, do not do this. And she, the person decides that, you know what? I don't want to keep this child in me. I want to abort this child. And the person decides to go and have an abortion. Is it a sin against God? And can that sin be forgiven, knowing perfectly well that, okay, you knew that you are not supposed to commit murder, and we Christians know, we see abortion as murder because mm-hmm. it's a human being. Is it a sin against God if you do something like that? Or is God so merciful that you just say, oh, you know, she was raped, and so she had every right to do that?
You know, it is a sin because it is murder. And two wrongs don't make a right, because there's always a destiny attached to a life. So we don't know what destiny that child might have carried if you were to carry that child to term. It is a sin to abort the child. But God is also gracious, and he also forgives. And he also knows, because the word of God says that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our needs. He can sympathize with our hurts and pains. So he knows what you're personally going through. Not that he excuses it. Grace is not an excuse for sin or a justification for sin. Grace empowers us to not want to sin. Okay? So the scenario is if she ends up actually aborting the baby.
Yeah, knowing perfectly well.
If she ends up aborting the baby, there's still grace and mercy for that. Mm-hmm. Okay? God is a forgiving God. But guess what? Every action has a consequence. And that's the one thing God cannot spare us from. You will reap what you sow. The word of God says, I lay before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life that you and your descendants may live, okay? Mm-hmm. So there will be a consequences for your actions. I know that a lot of people who have, you know, have had abortions suffer mm-hmm. from some type of mental pain from mm-hmm. having to remember what they've done, or thinking of the possibilities of what could have been if that child was still alive. And some of them, unfortunately, have to suffer permanent physical damage because they went somewhere who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and mm-hmm. now they're barren. I've heard stories like that. Mm-hmm. So if someone were to do something wrong to you, you didn't go looking for it. Somebody mm-hmm. came and abused you. Somebody came and hurt you. Somebody came and violated you. And God understands the pain. But at the same time, when the word of God says that he can make all things work together for the good of they that, you know, that love him and are called according to his purpose, he can turn this situation around to be something that you've never expected to be. He has the ability to turn such a horrendous story into a beautiful, like turning your ashes into beauty. He can do that. He can do the impossible. So if we trust him, he can make every wrong right. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. It's not. A lot of women have gone through that, and it wasn't easy. But God, when they put their trust in God and dwelled in his secret place, he was faithful to provide. He was faithful to see them through. And the end, the story at the end was so much more beautiful than how it all began.
You speak of there being consequences after your actions.
Yeah.
So we speak of our God being a loving God and kind. Mm-hmm. And so why are the consequences to our actions even after we have asked for forgiveness? Mm-hmm. You know, you told me to forgive and not remember that, you know, the person that sinned against me. So that's what gets me confused. I'm like, mm-hmm. does God forgive and forget, or does he still remember? Because I still get punishment for mm-hmm. some of the stuff I've done. You know what I mean? And so, where is the, you know,
God has said his word is always okay. It was and is and always was, it always will be, okay. Mm-hmm. So he has already spoken things into existence, so he cannot go back. to his word, because he cannot, he's not a man that he should lie. So whatever okay. he has said must come to pass. And he has set certain laws that governs the way we live. And that's why that when we do certain things, automatically you will get a consequence for it. Whether he wants it or not, it will happen because he has spoken this into existence. He says, if you do this, this will happen. So trust me so that you won't do this, because if you do, something will happen. It's the same way when we with parents and their children. You keep telling your child, don't go there, you're going to burn yourself. Don't go there, you're going to burn yourself, okay? And you go, you try to fix something up, and the child disobeys you, and they go, and they burn themselves. Mm-hmm. So should the parent be guilty for what the child has done? There's a consequence that happened. The child, the parent warned the baby, the child, the parent warned you not to go and do whatever it is, because if you do that, then the consequence will happen, and you did it. And that's the same way with God. He warns us because he loves us. He warns us because he knows the end from the beginning. Okay, so if you still want to be rebellious and say, you know what, I'm just going to do it my way, he's going to be like, yes, okay, go ahead. And it's a lesson that you'll just have to learn the hard way.
So why do bad things happen to good people? When someone says that, oh, I'm good, I don't do anything wrong, I don't talk about people, I'm mm-hmm. just like, I just try to be good every day, mm-hmm. but then I have cancer. You know,
yeah.
why, or a child, you know, their child has cancer, their child has some stuff or disease. Mm-hmm. Why do these things happen to these people who are just trying to live their life?
Mm-hmm. So, or when you say good, good according to whose standard?
Mm.
Because according to God's standards, none is good. None of us are good.
Mm, that's a word.
All falling short of the grace of God. We're none of us are righteous. None of us is good, because the world sees good as good enough to make it to heaven. If I'm good, if I, you know, help people, if I'm kind, if mm-hmm. I do enough charity work and stuff, then I'm obviously going to make it to heaven if there's an heaven, because I'm a good mm-hmm. person. But that's not God's standard for goodness. Okay, so the word of God says that he causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteous, because he is a loving God. So when you see things happening, it's not so much as why me, because I'm a quote unquote good person, but it's saying, God, what can I learn through this? Because this has happened obviously for me to learn something, to build my character, to build hope and faith in you. So help me learn from this lesson. Help me learn from this situation and not just hurt from it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I needed to hear that. Because I look around, especially with the COVID, I spoke to a few people, some of my friends actually who have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I don't know, I'm a good person. I didn't like, okay, I'm going to talk to Evelyn. This is a master of questions I'm going to ask her. Why something like this happened when, you know, we call our God good, you know? If a non-believer asks me, oh, if your God is so good, then why is this happening? So thanks mm-hmm. for explaining that way. On that note, I want to ask another question. If I offer forgiveness to someone
mm-hmm.
and they refuse to accept it,
mm-hmm.
do I keep pushing or do I just let go?
Oh no. Forgiveness isn't for anybody to accept. It's for you to give. Whether it is received or not, you've done your part. You've done your part. You've forgiven. Okay. So now it is not up to you to make the person drink from the water. It's not up to you to make the person receive your forgiveness. It's up to you to ask for forgiveness or to receive forgiveness. But if you don't, if the person is not receptive to it, then that's not your fault. That is not a burden that you should try to carry. That's something that you leave up to God.
Okay. You speak as though these things are so easy for you. You know, to someone wrongs you, and you know, that's the image and the picture I'm getting. When someone wrongs you, it's easy, you know, for you to just be like, okay, I let go. Oh, bless you, child. How can someone develop a heart like yours,
or
a heart like Christ, to be able to maintain, you know, that kind spirit, so that when they are offended, they can be like, you know what? I love you so much. God bless you, child. I've forgiven you.
No, it is not at all that way. We feel like love is an emotion and love is a feeling. When it's not, it's a decision.
Mm.
I choose to love you regardless of what you do. through my actions and through my obedience to what God has asked for me to do. Whether I feel it or not, that is not God's problem. That is not my problem, because he knows that the flesh is still very part of ourselves. So he knows what the flesh is prone to do. So for you to forgive and say, oh, you know what, I love you, that's very unrealistic, because we're human beings, okay? Mm-hmm. And we hurt and we bleed and we get offended, okay? So what helps me, because I've been through many situations where I've had to forgive people who've done so much wrong to me. Mm-hmm. But what helped me forgive time after time and time after time is my relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he was able to fill me with his love so much more that I could pour it into somebody who didn't love me. I could pour it into somebody who didn't like me, okay? That's because he was able to love me enough for that. He was mm-hmm. able to say, you know what? I'm going to take care of it. So ultimately, I trust in his ability to render justice no matter what, because he knows what's best. So my relationship with him and my communication with him has helped me forgive people that, you know, that a lot of people wouldn't forgive mm-hmm. for what they've done. So I am completely, completely relying on my relationship and my intimacy with God in order to be able to do the things that I'm doing right now.
Mm. Amen to that. May I receive that grace to be able to reach out. No, because it's something that's very dear to my heart. And mm-hmm. I want to be able to look at people. And for some reason, I was telling my mom the other day, that I said, Mom, it's as if I'm prone to hurt or mm-hmm. something, or to get hurt. It's like yeah. everywhere I go, I'm not sure if it's because I allow myself to easily get hurt, but mm-hmm. everywhere I go, someone has to either offend me one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know some of my story, what I've been through, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And just the other day, someone that had hurt me so much in the past, oh, emotions are coming in.
Yes.
You know, reached out to me. He's like, oh, Veronica, you look so good. You are doing so well. And I couldn't bring myself to respond to them. Mm. That pain.
Mm. Ooh, your body was remembering.
Everything they had done just came in my body. Mm-hmm. So when I reached out to you and I said, sister, I want to do this interview. Mm-hmm. And you asked me, what would your topic be? I was like, what should I talk to you even about? Should it be about relationship or what? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what is the one thing I'm struggling with right now that I need help with? That is forgiveness.
So
that came over me, and I still haven't been able to reach out to the person. I'm not even going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that. But I was waiting after this interview to reach out to the person and be like, hey, girl, I'm good. Thank you for reaching out.
You know what's really funny that you mentioned that forgiveness is not an overnight process, okay? It takes time. And then we have to be kind with ourselves and patient with ourselves. The goal is for you to forgive, but you can do that through healing and healing. And the healing can only be done through God. Okay, God is the one who can heal the broken pieces. God is the one who can heal your heart. And at times, you know what the Holy Spirit does with me? He kind of helps me empathize with the other person by putting myself in that other person's shoes and by telling me this is what might have been happening in that person's life, okay? So why don't you try to understand it from that perspective? And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to. It's still hard. But the more he does that, the more I'm inclined to want to forgive, especially when the person reach out. For most part in my life, I've had to forgive people who have never asked for forgiveness, mm-hmm. who are still like looking at me sideways, mm-hmm. but I still had to forgive them. But that speaks so much more volume. If the person were to come mm-hmm. and kind of like put that pride to the side and say, hey, I'm sorry, who am I to say, no, I don't accept that you've hurt me, when God was hurt by us, when I have hurt other people in the past. So I would want to treat them like I would have wanted to be treated if I was in their position.
Mm. Mm.
And that's the thing. Yeah. If I was her or if I was him, how would I want it to be treated? Yeah. I would want to receive mercy and grace in my time of need.
Mm. Amen to that. Well, like I said, I'm going to try. I'm going to It's a process, like you said. Yeah. I'm going to work on reaching out to this person.
And be honest. Be honest with God first and say, yes, I don't mess with this person. I don't like this person, Lord.
I don't like, I'm honest.
I'm honest with God first. Yeah. In honesty, healing can manifest. Yeah. If you're not honest with yourself, and if you're not honest with what's happening, and you want to suppress your emotions and be like, I'm good. I love them.
Yeah, because
oh my God, I'm
especially when the person reaches out to you and asks like, whoa, everything has been just like bed of roses. I'm like, no, girl, you hurt me bad.
You know what?
You tarnished me.
You know, and that's one of the scriptures. I know that we often talk about, oh, forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly father with, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your earthly father, your heavenly father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, then your heavenly father will not forgive them. So will not forgive you. So you're like, man, I got to forgive. But God is not God is not going to forgive me. So you have that burden in you. Like, I must. But at the same time, and at the same breath, the same Bible says, so watch, I think it's in Luke 17, verse 3 to 4, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, so watch yourself. If your brother or sisters sin against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them.
Mm.
And if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them.
Mm.
But the key word here is you have the right. You must forgive, but you have the right to rebuke that person for what they've done to you. Mm. You have the right to say, hey, you hurt me, and that hurt me bad. I didn't like that.
And that will not be
choose to forgive you. Huh?
And that will not be another offense.
That is not like, a sin.
Oh, you forgive me.
Because God does it with us all the time. Yes. He tells you, you have sinned against me. This is how you've trespassed. Repent that you may receive my forgiveness and my righteousness and holiness. So you are more than able to go and say, hey, you hurt me in this way, in this way, in this way. Mm-hmm. But I still choose to forgive you. And that's what, that's the toxicity that we've fed a lot of people. Oh, you have to forgive, you have to forgive. And the person is like, okay, but how can I? What is the healing process? It's facing that person and facing the situation and confronting it and say, this is what you've done. I didn't like that. And allowing the person to admit their wrong and acting for forgiveness. And that's healing can take place there. But you also have to be ready for the person to not acknowledge that they've done wrong. But at least you were able to speak your peace and express yourself and let go.
Mm.
And people who are harboring unforgiveness is oftentimes people who are not given the chance to express the hurt. Mm. And after expressing the hurt, they feel like, oh.
You can breathe.
I was keeping this in my head. Yeah. I just wanted to tell you how you hurt me. Now that I've told you, do whatever it is you want to do with your life. I forgive you. And it's okay. You can do that. You can do that.
Mm. Mm. Thank you so much, Evelyn. Thank you for this advice. I'm going to take it. And I know that my listeners and my viewers are also going to take it. It's been such a blessing and so rewarding. Is there anything else you want to say before I let you go? I know I said 30 minutes and we are kind of close to that time. Is there anything you want to share?
I would say that now I see why I kind of had to go through what I had to go through to learn about forgiveness. Because right now, when I look at the hurt and I look at the pain, it's not as painful as it was when it first happened. Because God has allowed time to come to mature me, to prune me, but he has also allowed time to heal me in the sense that even if it were to happen in another instance, I would have learned from what I've been through in the past, which is what's helping me in the present and the future. So I'm like, there's always room for forgiveness. There's always room for restoration. There's always room for healing. The Holy Spirit can provide it all to you, okay? The Word of God says, approach his throne of grace, okay, with confidence to find mercy and receive, or to receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. So if when you need it the most, ask him, be honest, and he will surely satisfy you.
Mm. Thank you so much, Evelyn, for joining us today. On that note, we would like to thank you all for joining us today. God bless you all. If you want to learn more about Evelyn, check out her Instagram. Evelyn, what's your Instagram handle?
So it's From Pain to Purpose. I also have a YouTube channel called From Pain to Purpose. You can check me out with that. The two is the letter two. So From Pain to Purpose.
I will leave Evelyn's YouTube channel link below, and you guys can check her out also on her Instagram. Make sure you check her out and stay blessed as always. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.